Welcome to Kingdom Mothers Rise Up, where I encourage and equip you to heal your heart and renew your mind so you can live the fully abundant life Jesus promised you. Let's go. It's time to move.
A phrase that's been coming up for me a lot lately is like silencing the war within. Like there should not be a war inside me over what I want and what I feel and how I should do things. And like Jesus came to bring peace, and that includes peace in me. So what we're going to talk about today is a question. I kind of paraphrased it, but one of you asking, like, how do I even start to identify my emotions if they've been repressed, if I haven't been paying attention to them for my whole life? How do I start? Like, emotions feel just like downright scary. And especially our little kids' big emotions of like, oh my goodness, what do I do with this? Like, I don't want to shut it down like was done for me, but what do I do? And I think where I want to start is like, how do you even know you have repressed emotions? And maybe you're like, there's no question I have repressed emotions. But maybe you're like, no, I feel like I'm doing pretty good. Like I'm pretty even keel and not much ruffles my feathers, you know, like pretty good. If you overreact, that's a good sign of repressed emotions. And they could be like repressed from your whole life, or it could be like a current season where you're stuffing things and not taking the time to deal with it. I unfortunately have an example of my own life that just before coming on, I was throwing a tantrum just like my 7-year-old. Like, why wasn't this stuff done ahead of time? I want to be mad at you for not having it done ahead of time, but really, I'm the adult. I'm the one that needs to have this stuff done ahead of time. I know this. I've been saying this for ever and like still haven't taken the steps to make my life easier, make my life the way I want it to be. So there's all this like repressed frustration with myself that was coming out in this tantrum. Yeah, being a bad example, but also just being honest of like, yes, I'm incredibly frustrated and like part of it's at you, but a lot of it's at me and we need to fix this. But I'm supposed to be doing a video right now. So when you're overreacting to things, small things happen and you have, you know, a thing at this level happens and you have a this level reaction. There's some emotions there that need your attention. And a great way to start identifying your emotions is stopping to think, what would it look like if you put it in a picture? Because particularly if you grew up with childhood emotional neglect and you are concerned with doing it right and identifying your emotions properly and all of that kind of stuff, you can be like, I don't have the words. I don't have the vocabulary. Is it this emotion? Is it that emotion? Don't worry about it. How do you feel? Pay attention to your body. How does your body feel? When I did the book Unstuck, I made all those different pictures of how it felt to be stuck. Like sometimes it felt like I was literally in a cast and I couldn't move. Other times it felt like pushing against a boulder and just nothing working, no progress. Other times it felt like being in a cage. Like, again, like there's just no way out. It was a cage with no door. And paying attention to your body, like, is your chest tight? Is your stomach in knots? You feel weak in your legs. You feel tension and stiff or whatever it is. Just start paying attention to how you are feeling and acknowledging, I feel that. I don't need to fix it. There's no fixing emotions. There's recognizing emotions. There's listening to emotions, but there's no fixing emotions because they're not broken. They might not be pleasant. Me might not want to have them around, But if we feel like we need to fix them, then that is definitely a place of being stuck, because emotions don't get fixed. They get heard, they deliver their message, and then they can move on. They're, you know, emotions. There's motion in that word. They're supposed to come and go. They're not supposed to come and stay. They're not supposed to come and get stuffed. Opening up space to start to listen to them. I understand that that feels scary, because it can feel like if I open that door, I'm going to be completely overwhelmed and like I'm just not going to know what to do. As first, for your own emotions, starting to make that space to listen. And your emotions are trying to tell you that you need something. So like my tantrum before getting on here is telling me very clearly, again, I need some structure. I need some boundaries. That means I need to make some decisions. I need to communicate those decisions. And I need to practice following through on those decisions. That's what it's telling me. And I can probably dig deeper into that of why have I resisted setting the boundaries. There's probably most fear of not being able to follow through. There's fear of the backlash of trying to create a structure and have it not go well. Bad attitudes coming back at me and me needing to be strong and like, no, this is really what I'm doing. This is really what I need. I can look at my tantrum and I can see what I was feeling. And from that, I can see what I need as I listen. And so like the big obvious thing, I need the boundaries. I need the structure. As I listen more and listen to the, you know, the fear of the backlash or not being able to handle it, then I will probably identify some other things of like needing some support, talking things through with my husband or a friend. Sometimes just reminding myself, you can handle it because you're the one that gets to make the rules. You get to decide how this is going to work. And making decisions is a hard thing for me. I grew up not trusting myself or my decisions, compounded with the I need to do everything right so that I don't get in trouble and have people mad at me, makes it really hard to make decisions and be like, nah, if it doesn't work, we'll change. Getting better, but there's still a lot of that residual there. So when you're dealing with your kids' big emotions, what they need is for you to create that space for their emotions to be expressed. They don't need it to be fixed. They don't need it fixed. They don't need to learn the lessons. They don't need any of that to start with. They just need a space for those emotions to be expressed and mirrored back to them of, you know, it seems like you're feeling stressed. It seems like you're feeling sad. I can see that you're really frustrated. That kind of starts to build the vocabulary for them. But it also works really well with them to ask them, if you made a picture of how you feel right now, what would that look like? Those pictures are very insightful, and it doesn't matter if they draw them or just tell you what it would look like. It's very helpful to see how they're feeling instead of just putting a label on it. And to be able to have those conversations of like, oh, wow, you feel like the whole world is on your shoulders. That's rough. Like, no wonder you're responding the way you're responding, because that'd be a really big, hard thing if you have the whole world on your shoulders. And once they feel heard and once they've calmed back down, then you can talk to them about if they maybe need to make different choices next time or whatever.
We'll be right back.
Heart Doodling with Jesus is a membership where I do a live workshop once a month where we explore an emotion or an idea through doodling, which is just a simple creative process I encourage you to draw with permanent markers and paint with watercolor paint to create space to listen to your emotions, the thoughts that are in your head, and what the Lord wants to say to you. And it's not about creating art. It is not about being good at it. It's about practicing the pause to go, what am I really feeling? What do I really think? What do I really believe on this particular topic? And giving you tools that you can use for yourself and with your kids to continue to explore your emotions outside of the workshops. You can come back and do workshops again and again if you're in the membership, but you also can take the practice that I'm teaching you and do it on your own for what's going on in your life. If you're interested in joining me, there's a link in the description.
And ask questions so they can start to learn the messages from their own emotions, asking them what they need. Okay, let me know if you have questions from what I've shared, bringing things up out of the blue from 2 or 3 weeks ago. Since we came home from the hospital, Tegan has been sleeping in our room because the whole fear of being in her room by herself came back with a vengeance after the hospital for some reason. That I still haven't gotten to the bottom of. So last night, when I asked her how full her buckets were, I asked what was in the buckets, and she's kind of like, I don't know. But then at like 3 o'clock this morning, she wakes up and tells me that one of the other things in her sad bucket was regretting something that she had spent money on, that she was wishing she had spent it on something else. Yeah, I think that's part of just their like living in the moment. But then as their brain is processing and putting things away, things come up of like, oh, but I'm upset about this. And it can take a bit to figure out like, what are you talking about? Because we're not expecting them to bring up things from 2 or 3 weeks ago. But still just allowing the emotions, not allowing the behavior. So, you know, reminding them, like, I see you're sad and I see you're upset. And regardless of how sad and upset you are, it is still not okay for you to rage at me. It's still not okay for you to be disrespectful. Sometimes, like, with Tegan being mad that she spent money on this thing that she's now regretting, or with her, like, it was totally her fault that her paper got wet. Because she has this thing with taking, so she was really mad at herself. And that was where a lot of the rage was coming from. Like, she was just so mad at herself. So I'm hoping that there'll be more things that will come out of, like, what's in the mad bucket? Like, what's going on? So that you can just fly off the handle at yourself. And then, like, my tantrum this morning is like, okay, so there might still be some more generational stuff there, because clearly I'm acting the same way, not to quite the same level this time, thankfully, but still totally inappropriate for a 49-year-old. Threw her snow gear on the floor and ranting and not pretty. So yeah, let me know if you have other questions about what I've talked about. The analogy that I was thinking of is decluttering your emotions. Sometimes clutter, let's say, clutter is anything that doesn't have a home in your home or routinely is not in its home, but anything that doesn't have a home in your home. So sometimes the clutter is like the mail that came in today, and there's some junk mail, or there's something that you're deciding what you're going to do with. Or I just got a shipment of supplies for my next in-person heart doodling. So there's the packaging and there's stuff that, like, it's only going to be in my house for a few weeks. So it doesn't really have a home. There's that kind of clutter. And our emotions can be the same of, like, there's just this current situation that's a temporary thing. That's not a big deep thing. It's just, yeah, I need to take a couple minutes and acknowledge, like, oh, that situation frustrates me. Here's what I'm going to do. So like with the supplies for the heart doodling workshop, I want to do like an unpacking video to help promote. And so as soon as I've done that, then I can designate a space in my office that that stuff is going to stay until the event, and it will have a home as long as it's here. So for temporary emotions of like frustrated about a situation that just happened, or concern over something that's not going the way I wanted to take a few minutes to sit with that and see what's actually there, see what's current, and see what I need, and then can be done with that. But then also in our homes, we have places where they're just kind of catch-alls, and I'm not sure what to do with this, so I'll throw it over there. And it might be a drawer, it might be a cabinet, it might be a whole room. It's still a more short-term, every once in a while we get that space cleaned out. When we do our spring cleaning or, you know, switching the seasons or whatever, we kind of get to that and get that space back under control. And so their emotions can be that way of maybe there's a more long-term situation with a parent's health or a relationship that has extra tension because of some new thing that's happening. You know, somebody's making choices that we don't agree with, but we're trying to maintain the relationship. So kind of like setting stuff aside, knowing like this is going to come to a head and I'm going to deal with these emotions. And then we have emotions that are like in the attic or down in the basement, and the stuff that's, you know, we hear stories all the time of people that moved 10 years ago and they have boxes they haven't opened. Or, you know, I cleaned out this space to make myself an office 3 or 4 years ago, and I still have boxes that I haven't gone through from that. And so we've got that that long-term stuff that's like, yeah, this stuff needs to be dealt with, but I'm going to put it in a box and I'm going to put it away. So we have those physical things, but we have those emotional things. And some of those things, like, our parents or our environment told us to pack those things up and get rid of them. But we can't get rid of emotions until they have given us the message that they have for us. So we might try to get rid of them, but they're really just being stuffed down in the crawl space or stuck in the attic or whatever that space is. We're like out of sight, out of mind, except emotions aren't. They might be out of sight and out of mind, but they're not out of our heart. And so they keep trying to like, I have a message for you. I have a message for you. And at times they come out like my tantrum this morning or my daughter's tantrum last night. So having compassion for yourself, that if you have that eruption, if you have that attic full of emotions, you might want some help in unpacking them. Or you might be able to just acknowledge like, okay, it's time to deal with that. And, you know, you can deal with that on your own through prayer, journaling, the heart doodling, talking to safe people. You can get through stuff on your own. It's also like when you're working on decluttering your stuff, I know for me, it's so much easier and so much more effective if I have someone with me. Because then I have to justify what I'm keeping. Or I don't have to, but I feel like I have to, like, I have to explain to them why I'm keeping this. And if I don't feel like doing that, then I probably shouldn't be keeping it. So having someone to help you with your emotions, not in the telling you what you can keep and what you can't keep, because like you just need to make the space to listen, but to bring the perspective that we often don't have for ourselves of, it makes sense that you feel that way. It makes sense that this feels completely overwhelming. It makes sense that this feels impossible. Because if you were told to shut down your emotions when you were younger, you weren't given the skills to self-regulate. And like, you can do practical things like taking a deep breath, taking another deep breath, moving your body around. A super helpful thing to do is to visualize a time when you felt really safe, really connected to Jesus, to the Father, and be able to picture that space so that if the emotions come up and feel overwhelming, you can go back to that picture at any time and remind yourself that you're safe. Reminding yourself that you are not your emotions. You are experiencing emotions, but they're not who you are. So creating some distance instead of, like, if I open up, those emotions are going to destroy me. No, they're just emotions. They're over here and I'm over here, and I can just look at them as long as I can handle, which might just be 10 seconds to start with. And then I can go back to my safe place. And then I can look for another 10 seconds and I can go back to my safe place. I can maybe, like in the visualizing decluttering, like I can go to this box of emotions and pick one out and bring it back to Jesus and be like, okay, help me look at this. What is this trying to say to me? So doing that with the heart doodling is my favorite way to do that, to be able to say, okay, like I'll need to take the tantrum I did this morning and see, like, what were all the emotions there? What were the thoughts there? Jesus, help me sort through this. What do I need? And how am I going to take action towards getting what I need instead of just being like, yeah, I need that? Because identifying what you need and then waiting for someone else to meet that need is still a childish response, a childish stance, where as an adult, you can say, this is what I need, and then do something about meeting that need. If you weren't given those tools and skills when you were young, it can be really confusing and overwhelming because you still feel like that young child who doesn't have the skills. And so again, separating from like, okay, that's how it feels. But the reality is that I'm adult now. I can talk to God. I can breathe. I can make decisions. I can put it down on paper and sort out my thoughts from my emotions, my thoughts from the enemy's thoughts, my thoughts that just aren't helpful and I want to change. So I guess just trying to say emotions can feel big and scary, and they can be big, but you're not without resources to take a step back and say, okay, I see you. And I think that's part of why putting them on the paper helps in doing the heart doodling or journal or however you do it, is it creates that separation. This is a tangible thing I can put on paper and look at, as opposed to having it just entirely inside and feeling like me rather than something I'm experiencing. So creating that distance to go, okay, I see there's a lot of frustration there. There's a lot of hurt there. There's betrayal and frustration and devastation. What do I need? Do I need comfort? Do I need to be heard? Do I need support? Do I just need that acknowledgement of like, I see you. I hear you. I understand. Sometimes our approach to unpacking cluttered storage spaces or whatever is to like pull everything out and like try and get through it all. And that's not a good approach emotionally. A small, gentle approach. Like maybe you can handle a whole box, but if you're just starting the journey, maybe you're going to open the box and pull out one thing and just sit with that one thing. And that's more than enough. There's no reward for getting through it faster. So much of it is learning new habits and new ways of thinking and new ways of responding that just take time. you're probably going faster by going slower. If you take out one thing at a time and don't get completely overwhelmed with it, you're still practicing the skills and things that you need so that after you've done one thing at a time for a while, you'll be able to take a whole box. And then after you can take a whole box, you can take out several boxes, or you can take out a box and get through that whole box much faster because now you have the tools, you have the practice of being able to listen to this emotion and not have it define you and dictate your life. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Kingdom Mothers Rise Up podcast. I'm blessed to have you here. If you'd like to continue the conversation, you can join us in the Kingdom Mothers Rise Up Facebook community. When you're ready for more support, I have the Heart Doodling with Jesus monthly membership, periodic group coaching, and one-on-one personalized coaching as well. Thank you so much for being here, and we'll see you next time.